Mr. Chairman, it was T.B. Jaya who was worried about these problems, and he went. Soon after he became a graduate, he made a speech. In that speech that he made in 1919, I believe, on the subject education and national progress, he asked these following questions. What have we achieved? Other communities have achieved so many things. What have we achieved? Do we have civil servants? Do we have scholars? Do we have doctors? Do we have at least a school to call it ours? And he asked the very question, who will be the father, who will be the Sir Syed Ahmad Khan of Sri Lanka? He did not know at that time that history will record and accord him the honor of being the Sir Syed Ahmad Khan of Sri Lanka. So what is important is, Mr. Chairman, is not the mere education as a system. The Muslim community, the time has come to emphasize on more deeper aspects of learning. Today we have been distributed this booklet containing several hadiths of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Muslim scholarship fund, Muslim educationists, Muslim politicians, the time has come if we have to preserve our identity, if we have to be proud of our identity, the time has come we should have our emphasis on knowledge. The 19th hadith I would like to read. Acquire knowledge. This is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has described the nature of the knowledge that the Muslim community has to acquire. A knowledge that enabled its possessor to distinguish right from wrong. There are teachers, educationists. I'm asking this question, is today's education, what we teach our youngsters, does it help them to distinguish right from wrong? It lighted the way to heaven. Does the education that we receive or the knowledge we learn help us and serve as the light to the heaven? It is our friend in the desert, our society in solitude, our companion when friendless. It guideth us to happiness. It sustains us among friends and an armor against enemies. It is the Muslims of this country have to now think deeply. I would like to use the words of Dr. Badiuddin Mahmood, who as a young firebrand, just out of the Aligarh University, this is what he came and spoke. Those words are still ringing in the ears of those who are concerned with the Muslim community. This is what Dr. Badiuddin Mahmood, young Aligarh product, said. A community must be politically recognized before it could do anything great and contributes its proud share towards the progress of the country. An individual, however great, however clever, however patriotic, cannot honestly feel happy in his individual greatness when the section to which he belongs and from which he derived all his inspiration lies humiliated and relegated to an inglorious place in the political structure of his country. It is therefore the education or the learning of the Muslim community that we are trying to shape today on the eve of the 50th Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Muslim Scholarship Fund. We have a duty to ensure that this education, this knowledge, this learning, this wisdom that we derive will help to retain the individualistic character, the independence and the respect of the minority community in Sri Lanka. Mr. Chairman, one other aspect that we have to address our mind is the question of the mother tongue. I have spoken about Dr. T.B. Jaya. Dr. A. M. Aziz. Then we find three other leaders, Dr. M. C. M. Khalil, Sir Razik Farid, and Dr. Badruddin Mahmood. Alhaj, late T. B. Jaya, gave the religious foundation to the Muslim learning, the Islamic learning. A. M. Aziz gave the philosophical foundation to that learning. He was involved and immersed in the writings and teachings of Allama Iqbal. He was virtually a reincarnation, please forgive me for using that word, of Allama Iqbal. He was a living Sufi, and in him radiated the Islamic, everything beautiful in Islam and in the philosophy of Islam. Then the question of, during the last 50 years, a very important question came, which has resulted the latest incident, the abortive attack on our military armory at Slave Island yesterday. The LTTE, suicide members of the suicide squad came, blasted themselves. This can be related back to the official language policy of the 1956 era. That official language policy has resulted among the Tamils to a problem of this magnitude, which has today become a national problem. But how many of the Muslims realize the after effects of the official language policy? There was great debate. You had to only read the speeches of late A. M. Aziz. I used to borrow books from him. He would ask me to return those books. But one day, when he handed over to me his speeches that he made in the Senate on the Official Language Act, he said, "This book will be more useful to you than me, therefore you keep it with you." And I still proudly retain that copy of late A. M. Aziz's speeches, all his speeches made on the Official Language Act. He was the only Muslim politician, only leader, who said that the Muslims should not change their medium of instruction. Muslims must study in Tamil language. Tamil should be the medium of instruction. There were great debates. Dr. Badruddin Mahmood, Sir Razik Farid, those leaders said Muslims have to study in the singular medium. Now, how many years have gone? 60, 70, 80, 90, 35 years. 35 years of these 50 years that you have called upon me to deal with, Mr. Chairman, have been in a scenario where the Muslims were not very clear, still not very clear, what should be the medium of instruction. What is the result? There was a time that in the Muslim community, the language of the home was Tamil. The language of the Maulanas were Tamil. Maulavis were Tamil. Language of the Kutuba was Tamil. Today, what has happened to us? The language of the home is gradually becoming Sinhala in the Sinhala educated areas, and it continues to be Tamil in the Tamil medium educated areas. The result is that there is building a very big wall between the Tamil medium educated Muslims of this country and the Sinhala medium educated Muslims of this country. Mr. Chairman, you just see what is happening to our students. You take a Sinhala student. He is called upon to study Sinhala and or English. A Tamil student is called upon to study Tamil or English. He doesn't study Sinhala. But what is the fate of the Muslim student? He has to study four languages. He has to study Tamil. He has to study Sinhala. He has to study English. And he has to also study the Arabic language. Arabic language for the purpose of enabling him and training him to read the Holy Quran. And in addition, he requires a lot more time. The time of the Muslim student. Does he have the time to be involved with the Holy Quran? To indulge himself in the philosophy of Islam, in the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Today the result is a new generation has come up. At home there was a time the young girl will call the elder brother as Nana. Now they don't call them as Nana. It has come to the position of calling them Ayya, Malli, Nangi. The result is that the community is getting linguistically divided. In a matter of 10 years, in a scenario where both sections will not study the English medium, where the English will not be known either to the Muslim from the northeast areas or from the other areas, in the absence of a link language, one cannot prevent the Muslim community getting effectively divided into Tamil-speaking Muslims and Sinhala-speaking Muslims. As far as the language is concerned, there's no problem. Language does not matter. But as I told you, T.B. Jaya opposed the inculcating of the English language together with the Christian philosophy. Today, you can study in any language you like, but do you have the Islamic values, the Islamic literatures in the Tamil language, in the Sinhala language? No. We have just one book or two books. Can those two or three books substitute to the mass of literatures, values, philosophies that are found in the Tamil language? Have we made the right decision? Is a matter for the Muslim educated people, learned people to learn, to answer. Mr. Chairman, I have a duty to go on record. I have been associating with our great leader, Dr. Badiuddin Mahmood. I have had differences of views on several matters, but I have my greatest respect. He told me that very recently that he made a mistake in telling the Muslims to study in Sinhala medium, in abandoning the Tamil medium. Why I say this is, you look at the figures of the university. I have with me the figures of the university admission from 1946 up to 1990. From which areas, from which medium Muslims are entering the medical faculty? From which medium Muslims are entering the law faculty, the engineering faculty? Are they entering through the Sinhala medium or are they entering through the Tamil medium? You see, as a result of the medium of language also, the educational progress of the Muslim community, not the educational progress of the Muslim education, I say the educational progress of the Muslim community has been retarded. Our percentage is dropping very badly. We do not have proper teachers. I have those figures as chairman. Today there are nearly 2,000 teachers, university teachers. There is a statistics available published by the Common University Report of the Commonwealth Countries. They say there are 2,000 university staff. Out of them, there are only 29 Muslims. Out of the 29, 6 are ladies, 7 are Arabic lecturers. So you add 7 plus 6, 13, you are left with only 16 of them. Even these 16 are people who entered after 1980. People who entered the university through the Tamil medium, and none of them are holding very senior positions in their respective faculties. Most of them are very juniors. This is one of the reasons that one has to deeply worry and think about it. The language, to what extent it has affected our faith. T.B. Jaya wanted the Islamization of the learning because he wanted to preserve the Muslim faith. We did not become victims to conversion. But today, what is happening? Today, you go to the mosque on Fridays,
you will see all single medium educated boys, they will not enter the halls of the mosque until the iqama is uttered. Because they don't understand what the khatib is saying. Once a month, once in 3 months, we find somewhere, some mosque, a sermon will be delivered in the single language. Are we getting ready with the Arabic colleges, madrasas, where we are producing future ulamas? Are you training them at least to deliver and to preach Islam to those who have received their education in the single media? We are not doing that either. So what is the net result? There will be two positively divided communities who call themselves as Muslims, who will not understand the aspirations of one of which will not understand the aspirations of the other. Look at our social life. When the home language is not Tamil, it is something else. Even in marriages, I'm not talking about dowry and other matters, sisters. Even questions such as marriages, in marriage, arrangement of marriages, the language becomes a determining factor.